questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, we have an expert from the Islamic House of Qom, Hojjatul Islam, Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Karimi. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
This is the second episode on how to control your sexual desires or lust. In the previous discussion, Hojjatul Islam Karimi gave us an elaboration on the definition of the concept of shahwa and what are some of the ways recommended by Islam. Okay, Sheikh, let's get to some other practical guidelines in order to control our lust.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We shared some points in this regard, and today, inshallah, I will refer to some more, hopefully, instructions in this regard. One of the very important points, especially for people who are single, they are not married, I mean, young generation, the teens, is to avoid overeating and also disordered eating. So, for sure, the foods that we eat and the drinks that we consume, they have a very important role in provoking the sexual desires. Because when you eat too much, when you're overeating, then it will provoke what we call it the sex glands. So according to the Islamic instructions, overeating and gluttony is absolutely disliked, and people are encouraged to avoid overeating. And also disordered eating, we need to avoid that too.
Yes.
So both of them, overeating and disordered eating, they have a kind of role in increasing the sexual desires. Not only that, people who may not be able to get married, they are also encouraged to be selective in terms of food and drinks. Because nowadays it is scientifically proved that some foods and drinks, they may, provoke the sexual desires.
Yes. So, for example, like liquors, wines.
And not only that, I'm talking about halal food too. When it comes to halal food and
oily
drinks,
food, for example.
Exactly.
Yes. Fast foods.
Yeah. So for those, especially if we are talking about single people who need to be away from sexual desires, and they are highly encouraged to be away from such foods and drinks which may provoke the sexual desires. And that is why, as you rightly mentioned in the previous session, according to the religion of Islam, for those people who cannot afford marriage, sometimes they are encouraged to fast too, because when you're hungry, then you may be more able to control your sexual desires. So the first one that I share today is to avoid overeating and disordered eating, and also to avoid the foods and drink which may provoke the sexual desires. There are some spiritual solutions and ways. So for sure, I mean, we are talking about some spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not understand directly how they help us control the sexual desires, but for sure they have great effects, like reciting the Quran, like saying the prayer, I mean, taking part in congregational prayer, Salatul Jama'ah. And at the end of the day, we need to do tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. So sometimes we may do all these solutions, but at the end of the day, we may rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resort to the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam to help us. The next point is to avoid improper conditions and situations, meaning that, and it is mentioned in the narrations too, that if you're going to have a connection with a non-mahram, for example, try not to be with him or her in a private place.
Yes.
If that happens, the third person present would be the Satan. So my point is that we shouldn't fool ourselves. When, we are alone with a non-mahram, be it male or female, doesn't make any difference. So this condition, these situations, in and of itself, has a role in us not to be able to control our sexual desires. So in the long term or in the mid-term, such connections, such relations with non-mahram would, help Satan to deceive us. So we need to be away from such relations, from such connections, and from such, conditions. So it is mentioned in the narration, as I mentioned, that you need to be with non-mahram. If there is a need, there must be other people too. You shouldn't be alone with him or her in a place, in a room, for example. When it comes to the time for sleep, as I mentioned in the previous session, we need to be tired enough to go to sleep.
Yes.
And also, there should be a fixed time for our sleep, which unfortunately nowadays is not happening for maybe the majority of the people. They may sleep every day, every night, a time different from the previous night. So the fixed time for sleep is another important point. For those who are able, I know it's very difficult nowadays, but for sure one of the best ways to control our sexual desires is to get married. And for those people who are wealthy and they can help the youth, according to the narrations, one of the best ways for charity is to help poor young people to get married. And maybe only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how great is the reward for helping the single people to get married. The other interesting point, we talked about controlling our eyes, controlling yes. our ears, like not listening to haram music. The same is true about controlling our voice. And this is mentioned in a very interesting verse in chapter Ahzab, verse 32. So when it comes to non-mahram, again, we should take care of our voice and our tone. Allah, let me share the verse, recite the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا تخضعن بالقول, addressing the women, then do not be soft in your speech. فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض, lest he in whose heart is a disease yearn. So for sure it's not, haram for non-mahram men and women to talk to each other, but it might be forbidden for any of them to change the tone in a way that may provoke the other.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So according to this verse, فَلَا تَخْدَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, do not be soft in your speech. So, I think our dear listeners understand what I mean. There are some people who may try to deceive the other person who might be a non-mahram, through their voice, through using a soft tone and soft speech. So again, I repeat myself that we shouldn't fool ourselves. If we want to have a life with controlling the sexual desires, yes. we need to control our speech too. Again, in the long term, it would be, or even in the short term, it would be effective. Social media nowadays play a significant role in preventing the people from controlling their desires. And that is why when it comes to cell phone and other social media, people should be careful, especially the parents, regarding their children. Let me share one interesting narration in this regard. Abu Basir says that, according to this narration, I was teaching the Quran to a lady.
Yes.
And once I made some jokes with her. And then I went to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he told me about what I told that lady, that joke. Abu Basir says that I felt very ashamed before Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Then Imam told me, do not go to that lady anymore and do not teach her anymore. You see how the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt were very careful about this situation. What is taught is the Noble Book of Quran. But because of the fact that once Abu Basir made some jokes with her, I mean, and the Imam might have felt that they may continue to do that and it may have some negative consequences, Imam Baqir alayhi salam asked Abu Basir not to teach her the Quran anymore. This is showing the significance of controlling the type of relation that we have with non-mahram. The next point is to control what we smell. I mean, control of olfactory stimuli. So this is also very important for non-mahram men and women. For sure, it is scientifically proved that there are some smells that, some perfumes that may provoke the people. So especially for women, they are highly encouraged not to use them for non-mahram, only for especially their husbands, they are encouraged to do that. But let me share one narration in this regard from Jesus عليه السلام. أيما امرأة استعترت وخرجت ليوجد ريحها فهي زانية وكل عين زانية. We have zina in our literature is translated into adultery. According to some narrations, there are a kind of zina or adultery for each part of the body. So the zina of the eye is to look at non-mahram with an, evil intention. And according to this narration, if a woman uses perfumes and then she goes out so that the non-mahram men would smell the perfume, then it is as if she has committed adultery. So it's not referring to that, adultery that we are familiar with. It is metaphorically used for such a lady who has committed this sin. وَكُلُّ عَيْنٍ زَانِيَةٍ And those people who look at her, they are also committing adultery, meaning the adultery of the eyes. And the next one is to control, because especially nowadays when it comes to the relations between men and women, some people object Islam for preventing men and women who are non-mahram from shaking hands. Again, I repeat myself, we shouldn't fool ourselves. For sure, if you're away from any kind of physical touch with non-mahram, be it in terms of shaking hand or any other relations, we are more able to control our sexual desires. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, لَا يَحِلُّ لِلْرَجُلْ أَن يُصَافِحَ الْمَرْأَ إِلَّا إِمْرَأَةً يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ أَن يَتَذَوَّجَهَا It is not permitted for a man to shake hand with a lady who is not mahram to him. There are many narrations in this regard. So to put all these narrations together, if we are really trying to control our sexual desires, first of all, we need to have the will.
Yes.
And for people suffering from weak will, they need to, try to strengthen their will. And if you're really trying to do that, these are some of the solutions and instructions mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the infallible Imams and the Prophet, peace be upon them. And but the point is that whether we are serious in that or not. If you're serious, if you're acting upon this point, then for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help us too. This is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran that الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَّا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Those people who try to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would help them too. So as long as we have not done anything, we cannot expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. But if we show our seriousness by doing these instructions, then for sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make this job easier than us, easier for us too, and we would be, inshallah, able to get rid of this problem, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you very much. And we know that most of the corruptions and the delinquencies that are taking place in today's world, one of the main roots and the reasons is the power of lust. And this is not what only the Muslims believe. This is what the Western scholars, in the secular governments also believe that there has to be and there have to be some ways to control our sexual desire and sexual drives in the country, especially among the teenage and among the kids nowadays in the world. Thank you very much, Sheikh. I hope that our dear listeners benefited from the Islamic teachings regarding how to control our lust or sexual desires. It was very kind of you.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي حسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين